RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Car of the Week from the Baseball Car Castle in Cranberry tomorrow with Joe back in the saddle for tomorrow's show. Austin Bechtold from behind the glass into the big chair today. And for the guys, contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. And we'll be able to say Happy New Year to the General. Happy New Year to Brian Batko. The Batconian Mongoose joins us now on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Hello, Brian. Do you think the Cleveland Browns are making their New Year's resolution to make Shedeur Sanders their franchise quarterback?
I don't think so. No. I think that was a pretty rocky second half for him yesterday. And even the touchdown pass that he did throw was basically a one guy blacking out and forgetting how to play safety and make a play on the ball in the air. So not really the greatest showing for Shedeur, although, you know, kind of a signature win, his first AFC North start. He keeps the streak of beating the Steelers in Cleveland alive. But no, I think the Browns will have to do some soul searching this offseason. I think they'd be a team that would make sense to go get a veteran and have him, you know, compete with Shedeur and I guess Dylan Gabriel to some extent. But maybe they just need to run it back with Joe Flacco for a third time.
The amount of wounded ducks made hunting season jealous, I think, Brian, that Shedeur threw
up there.
Maybe
they should go get Duck Hodges.
What veteran would the Browns go and get? Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson. Oh, Mason Rudolph, throw him in there with Shedeur and Dylan Gabriel.
And Myles Garrett. Could you imagine?
Myles Garrett playing quarterback?
Imagine that.
Playing both sides of the ball?
No, Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett on the same team.
As teammates, yeah. No, I could never imagine that. I could never imagine that.
Okay.
So, Brian, what did you make of the game overall against Cleveland? Because there are multiple takeaways to take from it. For me, we built up this huge confidence that, hey, maybe this is finally different. Maybe this is a Steelers team that can go into the playoffs and can win a playoff game. Can maybe win two playoff games. It's a wide-open AFC. I still don't think they can win a playoff game, depending on the matchup. If it's Buffalo, I say no thanks. It looks like the Chargers are going to be the seventh seed. They're just conceding and not starting Justin Herbert, I guess just for the extra rest, and go play in New England or go play in Denver or however those chips fall. So it's either going to be, if they win on Sunday, the Chargers or Buffalo, and Buffalo or Houston. And I don't really feel good about any of those options.
No, it's hard to feel good with the way that they just played in Cleveland. And I say they, but I almost want to just keep it to the offense because, again, the defense's failing was basically one brain fart at the goal line. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, the Browns strung together some good plays. Like a Kevin Stefanski coach team is going to do that at times. They're going to scheme guys open and have a good starting script and a good first drive. They did that against the Bills as well the week before. They went right down and actually finished it in the end zone. The Steelers didn't even let them do that. Now, maybe they would have scored on that drive that Harold Fannin caught the touchdown anyway, but I sort of doubt it with the way that Shadur played the rest of the day. So it's just a spotlight, a glaring blame game on the offense coming out of that one. And I just got the feeling, whether it was not having DK and having to operate for the first time like that this season for this group, or really being such a Myles Garrett-centric game plan, or just going through the entire week last week not knowing if you would have to win this game or not, or if it would just be one that you can play it very conservative, close to the vest, I think some combination of those three things were baked into the offensive struggles. They trickled down from Mike Tomlin to Arthur Smith to Aaron Rodgers, and it made for the very putrid display in Cleveland. And the weather didn't help either. I don't want to make excuses, but I'll throw the weather in there too. That wasn't ideal.
Well, the weather wasn't bad in the second half, though.
True, but it was windy. It was still windy.
So you're saying that they might have taken the Browns lightly then offensively because they thought that they might just sit their guys.
Well, I think they might have taken the Browns lightly in a sense of, okay, we can have this very conservative game plan that'll not open Aaron Rodgers up to many hits. It certainly won't open Myles Garrett up to breaking the record and knocking our guy from NFL lore. And we can just kind of get out of this stadium with whether it's a 3-point win, 7-point win, 10-point win, like we'll string something together eventually. And the Browns came out fired up. I mean, from the very first play, Devin Bush forcing a fumble on Jaylen Warren. If that's not a bad omen, I don't know what is. So people asked me in my chat yesterday on the PG site, like, what do you make of this 4-game losing streak in Cleveland? Is there a through line? I don't know, because as much as I came into that game Sunday thinking, for as much, you know, it's a gimme game to a lot of fans, but no, you lost to Dorian Thompson-Robinson in Cleveland, and yet that was with Kenny Pickett and Matt Canada. That cannot happen with Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers calling the shots now on offense, and yet it did anyway. And I say that to say maybe there is something to the Browns either intrinsically motivated to beat the Steelers at home, whether they get an earful of it from Kevin Stefanski, or it just sort of seeps into them from the fan base and being in that city that whole week. They always just seem to play inspired football when the Steelers go up there. That's no excuse, but
no,
that's just like one thing that I've seen having been at all four of those games.
Well, regarding the Myles Garrett thing, Brian, and a lot of people tried to point the finger saying that, including Myles Garrett, of course, no surprise there, saying that they were focused too much on Myles Garrett than actually winning the game. I would counter with that saying slowing down Myles Garrett, chipping Myles Garrett, which what they've done to other edge rushers, and getting the ball out quickly, which they've done for a majority of this season, is something that is not just Myles Garrett-centric. That's something that is in the Steelers' identity. Maybe they did it a slightly bit more, but I don't think that they lost that game because of them just being so scared to death of Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I think two things can be true here. I think philosophically and schematically, it was pretty similar to their initial game plan against the Browns, and to your point, limits similar to their game plans most weeks, because they have a 42-year-old quarterback who can make quick decisions, and you don't want him trying to really evade sacks and putting himself in harm's way that way. But I think it can also be true that just sitting there watching it from the press box felt like every time Myles Garrett, you know, got within a 10-foot pole of Aaron Rodgers, he was flipping that thing out to Kenneth Gainwell or Connor Hayward, sometimes losing yards. I mean, in that first matchup with the Browns, one of his signature plays in that one was running around in the pocket, scrambling, extending a play, running away from Myles Garrett, and eventually flicking it out to, I think it was Gainwell, who made a great catch on sort of just a broken play that they turned into some yardage. I don't know that he makes that same decision to try to avoid Garrett with consciously or subconsciously, however they were approaching that game Sunday. And Jim Nance and Tony Romo, if you want to take them at their word, they said, I think it was at the end of the first quarter as they went to break, Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be in that picture on Myles Garrett's wall. He told us that very clearly. So I think there's something to be said for, it's kind of similar to the discussion we always have about, oh, the Steelers are avoiding the middle of the field. Well, okay, yeah, you don't want to turn the ball over. That helps you win games, but sometimes that also limits the ceiling of your offense when you're playing things so conservative, you don't let some of the big play potential develop.
Oh, you missed Nance and Romo, mostly just Romo, just salivating over Myles Garrett at every opportunity that he had to try to get a sack.
I listened to it. I usually have the broadcast up in my headphones while I'm at the game. And also seeing Tony Romo in person in the press box, I don't dislike him now. I think a lot of people feel like he's become a bit of a parody of himself of when he first started. I would say this. It's now like he's Paul Rudd playing Tony Romo when he calls these games.
One thing that I wondered about the tush push, that the one that they didn't run on that 4th-and-1 go ball to Scotty Miller. So correct me if I'm wrong on this, Brian. Darnell Washington was hurt before that play, right? Not like the play before, but he was injured when they lined up in that formation. He was not out there on the field.
I believe so, yeah. He went down with that forearm injury pretty early on.
Is it fair to say that the Steelers did not run the tush push in that situation, where I think that they damn well should have, because Darnell Washington was not there to push Connor Hayward forward, and that the point of emphasis on that tush push is actually Washington, not Hayward, and it screwed up the entire formation?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, because while you could come back with, well, how hard is it to just put somebody else back there and tell them to do the same thing? I think the margin for error on that play we've seen at times this season can be slim. We've seen them not get it once or twice, or at least have some close calls. So Arthur Smith might have just figured, hey, you know, the quick decision that I have to make here, do we risk doing it without, like you said, kind of the engine of the play behind there, or do we just trust Aaron Rodgers he's going to find somebody open on this play? And I know a lot of people have dissected it. The film watchers, the ball knowers have gone over the all 22. It did look like Adam Thielen broke open pretty quickly
on that
4th-and-1. But for whatever reason, pre-snap, Aaron Rodgers said, I don't know if it was like to prove a point, like, hey, yeah, we don't have DK, but watch what Scotty Miller's about to do.
Or MVS. Look what MVS can do on 3 consecutive plays. Brian, that irritated me so much. Like, why did he keep going back to MVS? 3 consecutive plays, they were miscommunication twice, and then a fade ball to that guy? I mean, seriously? I have no words for him.
His whole logic after the game, and I'm sure if we bring it up again tomorrow, it'll stay consistent, is that, yeah, one-on-one coverage, like, I trust my guy, and yet that doesn't always make a lot of sense. And I get, you know, same as with play callers. When quarterbacks throw to a certain target, if it doesn't work out, oh, that was stupid. You shouldn't have thrown to him. If it does work out, great job, Aaron. You know, hindsight's 20/20, but it's not hindsight to say, it's not second-guessing to say, MVS and Scotty Miller is not the same as throwing to DK Metcalf. Now, I know he's not the best in contested catches, and he's certainly not George Pickens. That's a whole other can of worms. But it just felt like, at least on the Miller throw, it's, hey, yeah, we don't have our stud, but we trust the other guys to step up. I'm going to him, and he's going to make the play for me because he always does. Well, the throw, I think, was off, and you know Miller doesn't have the same catch radius, clearly, as DK, who may or may not have come down with it. But, yeah, I don't blame fans for being frustrated about that one.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Joined by Brian Bacco of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If somebody asked Mike Tomlin, why is Pat Freiermuth just never involved in this offense, what do you think he would say? Would he just say the same exact thing, like, oh, we have a lot of eligibles that are out there? Well, now, no, you don't, because Calvin Austin's hurt, DK's not playing, and Darnell Washington is out. Brian, they might ask you and I to come up from the practice squad.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. He kind of was asked about Freiermuth today, right? You were probably listening more intently than I was, Limits. And didn't he say something about, we have man game play, you know, we face man coverages, we face zone coverages, so the game plan kind of changes week to week. And that aligns with what he said earlier this season about, hey, even front teams, that's more of a Darnell Washington game. But I still maintain, I think what I said back then in whatever that was, week 6 or 7, that Pat Freiermuth is a good enough player. He doesn't need to be game plan specific. This isn't Michael Pruitt, where you're like, yeah, we want to line you up in line to block opposing defensive ends because you're a bigger, sturdier guy and you're better, you know, paving the way for the ground game or protecting the quarterback. Pat Freiermuth is a top 10 paid tight end. Yes, he's a better pass catcher than he is a blocker. We know that, but there's a lot of players like that. You can use them in all circumstances. And to your point, when you are missing your number one guy by a mile, you need to go players over plays sometimes. And I think that that's just one key personnel decision that is.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
It confused me all season with Arthur Smith and the way this offense is operating.
So what changed? What changed from a year ago? He caught 65 balls in Arthur Smith's offense in year one. He's going to have he has half of that right now. 38 catches on 49 targets. He was targeted 78 times last year. I don't understand what the difference is. Sure, Darnell has emerged when they brought Jonnu in, but it's not like Jonnu Smith is catching the ball every other time.
That's what I was going to say, but he's on the field a lot. He's on the field a lot more than the, you know, second or third de facto tight end was last season. Kenny Gainwell is soaking up targets from Aaron Rodgers. I think a lot of the times it's the play count too. It's everything with Pat Freiermuth, in my opinion. It's play count. It's utilization as far as where you're actually putting him in the formation. It's where he is in the progression for the quarterback. And at times, as we saw on that final sequence, those last three plays, there was at least one where I thought Freiermuth had a defender boxed out in the end zone. Why wouldn't you try to thread it in there instead of whatever the heck that was to Marquez Valdes-Scantling in the corner of the end zone?
Outside of this past week when Washington was hurt, Pat Freiermuth had played 50 or fewer snaps, percent of the snaps, seven of the last eight games.
Yeah.
It's just, why even give him that contract extension then if you're just not going to use him?
I think there was a vision for this offense that incorporated Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith a lot. And, you know, I think they did that early on, but it wasn't always having success as you think back to, you know, five losses in seven games stretch. And that's why they sort of pivoted and went to more of an 11 personnel based look with MVS and Adam Thielen coming in here. So, yeah, I mean, we might never get the answer to it, but I'm sure we'll do our digging. I sort of wonder, is this one area? Generally, I think Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers get along great and their relationship is fine. But is this one area where the quarterback is preferring, whether it's certain players or certain personnel groupings or certain formations, to what Arthur Smith had in mind for this offense? And nobody was really worried about it the last few weeks because it was working by and large. But when Aaron Rodgers short circuits like he did at Huntington Bank Field, it becomes more of a looming question.
What did you think of this interaction at the press conference?
Does the outcome of this weekend's game affect how you view the totality of the season as a success or not?
The winner goes on.
It's all about the AFC North Championship Week, Brian. I think what Brooke was trying to get at there is, look, you had a chance to win it last week. and you lost. And if you lose this week and you completely blow it again and you ultimately go, what, 9-8? How do you look at that season compared to if you go to the playoffs and then you still get blown out in a playoff game, or if you lose a playoff game? How does it change the trajectory of what happens moving forward, I think, is probably the way that that was interpreted, at least for me.
Well, he certainly didn't put much pressure on himself or the team with the way that he answered that.
Long pause, though. Long pause.
Lengthy pause. I guess he was maybe turning that question over in his head and perhaps considering some of the storylines that you just referenced there, limits. But hey, I mean, the Steelers say that the Super Bowl is their goal every year, and there's other goals along the way. You know, winning a playoff game, Art Rooney II is, you know, on record as saying it's getting impatient and that they need to start having more postseason success again. And then before that, they always prioritize winning the AFC North. And I would think even on a rung slightly lower than that is you need to get in the big dance. And I mean, Mike didn't really pinpoint any of those as objectives for the 2025 team, but he was, I thought, somewhat inscrutable today with some of his responses. And I don't know. I mean, it was certainly not a hellfire and brimstone presser or anything like that, which extremely rare for him. But I also didn't really get the vibe reading between the lines of he's got, you know, a ton of confidence going into this one. So that is like the only, I guess, interpretation I would have of that answer.
Is the DK Metcalf situation what is ultimately going to do the Steelers in this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can make that case. It's always more nuanced than that. I don't want to like paint with a broad brush, to use a Tomlinism.
Painting on a broad brush of the fan's chest, or maybe his hair, painting on a very blue broad brush.
I don't.
How about the press conference, Brian? You wore a backwards hat to the press conference.
I hope I just never see another image of that guy. Enough of that. But that's why I wrote about that after that game. That was my story the next day, was if you were to come up with a script of how the DK fan incident could blow up this season, this was basically it. The Ravens win in Green Bay. The Steelers lose to the Browns with several plays that would have made a lot more sense going in to have DK Metcalf either on the field attracting attention, which is what a lot of his teammates said in that post-game locker room. Hey, having DK, you know, take up two guys on the backside and free up other people, that's huge. And you lose that game scoring 6 points, not scoring a touchdown, as your leading wide receiver had, what, like 21 yards or something along those lines. And then you have to beat Baltimore the following week, a team that he had a Steelers high in receiving against the first time around. This is essentially the worst case scenario for how that exchange could play out, and even go all the way back to the NFL upholding the 2-game suspension. Even if it would have gotten reduced to 1, DK would have gotten, you know, he would have had some wiggle room here in terms of the blame game. Now, you know, it does threaten to derail this entire season, in part because he, you know, let a personal agenda, vendetta, pride, whatever you want to call it, or if he is, you know, to be believed through intermediary sources, you know, heinous language from the fan, that he let that rattle him to that extent.
What would you put the percentage chances at that this is actually the final game that Mike Tomlin coaches if they lose?
Oh man, I feel like you've asked me this before, Limits.
We're getting down to the finish line.
What's that?
We're getting to the finish line. We're getting closer, Brian. We're on the 25th of the 26th and 0.2 miles of the marathon.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those questions that no matter what I say, you're going to like react viscerally. I'm going to go with 23%. Slightly less.
Ooh, that's actually higher than I thought.
Really?
So 23% that he doesn't come back.
Yeah. Yeah, because I just look at it this way, and I said this in my chat a lot too, if people want to pull that up from the PG site. Like, I don't think the Steelers would ever fire him outright. I don't, that's not in their DNA. I don't think Art Rooney II would ever do that to someone that he's got 19 years invested in that level of personal and professional respect.
But Schefter did say, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, that there's a possibility, even as small as it might be, that he could go and do TV.
Well, that's what I was getting to, is while that would never happen, 19 years is a long time to do anything. I would imagine that once you get to this point, even once you get to 15 and your franchise quarterback retires and you're really starting fresh, he probably considers on some level every offseason, like, all right, do I want to do another year or do I want to just call it and figure I've accomplished what I'm going to accomplish here and, you know, let's just move on to something new or not do anything and take myself out of the stress of coaching football for a year. Granted, if there's anyone out there who doesn't get stressed doing this job, it might be him. But, yeah, I think there's just always a chance that if this thing goes wrong Sunday, imagine the negativity that he's going to have to absorb for this two-game collapse down the stretch. And maybe he will just decide enough is enough. And there will be a Tomlin resigns, mutual parting of ways. It something like that would, you know, it wouldn't shock me because it just never shocks me when you're almost two decades on the job.
Will Derrick Henry run for 85 yards, 125 yards, 225 yards, or 299 yards in this game?
299 yards, I think, limits. No, I don't know. I mean, I thought it was a little bit worrisome that I think it might have even been in his opening statement today that, yeah, we've played them recently. There are going to be wrinkles, I'm sure, on both sides, but wrinkles aren't going to determine this game. It'll be playmaking and execution. Like, yeah, I get that, and that does tend to be the way it goes in Steelers-Ravens, whether it's Lamar Jackson missing Mark Andrews on a two-point conversion or Kenny Pickett hitting whoever it was in the back of the end zone, Najee, I think, down at M&T Bank Stadium. Like, there are those kind of winning plays like that either get made or they don't, and it's a razor's edge. Even like, you know, if Josh Allen just puts that throw a little bit more on the dude in the back of the end zone the other day in Buffalo, they beat the Eagles. So I get what Mike's saying, but I also don't love hearing from the head coach that, yeah, this probably isn't going to come down to a coaching adjustment or a schematic change, or as he put it, a wrinkle. So that makes me a little bit worried that deep down, there's no answers for tackling the big runner, as he kept calling Mr. Henry. I think Derrick Henry will have another good game, but you're only going against the grain. It's the exception to the rule if you say he's not going to have a good game.
Finally, I'm going to the game on Sunday, as I'm sure many people are. I think Donnie will be there. You'll be there covering it. What should we expect the vibe to be on Sunday Night Football? Usually those are – I love going to primetime games. I know there are a lot of Steeler fans that aren't in that same boat, but I really like night games. They're fun as a fan to be able to go and enjoy. As long as it's not like 10 degrees and I'm freezing, then I love them. What do you think it's going to be like? Because at the start of the game and also at the end of the game, because if things don't go well, I think it could get very intense.
I think it'll be a raucous atmosphere, and I think it should be. I mean, I don't want to tell any fan how to fan, but despite all the negativity and all the, I guess, yeah, the roller coaster ride that this season has been, where things have looked really bleak at times, and then you've kind of talked yourself back into it at times, I'm sure, if you're a longstanding member of Steeler Nation. Even if you go into this game with a sense of dread, can't you just compartmentalize, set that to the side, and say, this is the whole reason why they play the games, is to face the Ravens in a win and in situation in week 18. And, you know, then if you do find a way to win it, then you're in the dance. And I think the whole point of being a fan is, you know, you trick yourself into thinking they can make a run if possible. You start squinting and coming up with scenarios where they can make a run and bring more joy to your Steelers fandom that hasn't been there in years past. So that is my, I guess, elevator pitch for why I think it'll be a good environment. It'll be a buzzworthy environment. I don't know how it'll be in the waning moments, but I think at least up front, the place will be pretty amped up.
Well, I hope you're right. Some joy in January. We'll find out. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Limits. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. That's Brian Bacco.
Talk to you next year.
From the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Yes, next year. It'll be a long day away. Long.
See you, buddy.
I guess 30-some hours away. I'm not very good at time or math or anything that involves anything not broadcasting. Brian Bacco is on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Logan, do you feel the same way? Like, I feel like I'm not that good at science or math or,
I am,
you know, being able to tell you.
I'm really bad at anything unrelated to communications and broadcasting.
Because, like, the new year is in of course, 24 hours, which is all day tomorrow. Plus, it's 1:30 right now. So that's like, what, another 10 and a half hours? So we're talking around 34 hours from the new year.
I don't expect us to make any big changes personality-wise in that time. There's a lot of words you could use to describe us. I don't know if pretty inept at other things would be a description of those.
Also, Penguins made a trade yesterday. Yegor Chinnikov comes over from the Columbus Blue Jackets. Penguins give up Danton Heinen, who has been up and down, back and forth with the Pens. They also give up a 2026 second-round pick and a 2027 third-rounder. So a pretty substantial deal there in terms of what the Penguins ultimately gave up. Chinnikov is young, 24 years old. He's actually just a month older than me. 3 goals, 3 assists, 6 points this year. He's a minus six in 29 games for Columbus. 5 years in the NHL last year, 7 goals, 8 assists. His best year was during 23-24 as a 22-year-old, 53 games, 16 goals, 13 assists, 29 points, former first-round pick. To me, seems like a pretty hefty price to give up. Yeah, he's still young, but he really hasn't been that productive. Maybe with more of an opportunity and playing on either Crosby or Malkin's line, it could be able to spark him because, there's not a ton of talent in Columbus. But there's another fascinating young winger that the Penguins add, and they still have plenty of draft picks despite trading away a second and a third. 412-928-9370 if you'd like to join in on the conversation as we round third and head home and turn it over to the PM team soon. Could Mike Tomlin actually leave for TV? What did Adam Schefter have to say about that? And also a trip inside the locker room as we get ready for the Ravens. Austin Bechtold with you in for Pump and Joe on a Tuesday afternoon.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.